The lines are open. 1-300-872-911. John McKenzie. Real music, real opinions. 4CA.
A couple of days ago, there was a fair bit of publicity about, well, what was seen as a very courageous attempt by Tom Tate down there to take away the vehicles from the foreshore at Surfers Paradise. And some people originally said, oh, no, all the businesses, and it's been there for years, and of course you've got to have cars up and down the foreshore at Surfers Paradise. And a few other commentators said, no, go and have a look at other countries. Go to various tourist destinations around Europe and have a look at the foreshores. They're almost invariably, there's no traffic down on them. For sure. So he's actually, is Tom Tate getting some level of support now for the concept? It's interesting when you open it up to commentary, you get different views from what you might expect to hear. Now, the other day, of course, you would remember if you were taking note of what was going on the northern beaches, there was a debate going on about Palm Cove. Not so much the foreshore there, but the northern end, where, as you know, there's the jetty. There were issues, of course, with the boats coming and going, the bigger boats who were transporting people out to the reef and out up to Port Douglas. But there were issues with the waves. When the wind would come up, the boats would bob around and there were potential danger there, etc. And ultimately that all came to an end. But there were people at Palm Cove the other day saying, listen, let's have another go. We'll do a rock wall out there and provide that sort of safety for the boats and a protective area to the north of them. And then other people said, well, what about the sand? Because that's going to become an issue. The sand's not going to cooperate, etc. As you know, we had a discussion with that very highly qualified gentleman from the university. So the level of support was not high among the locals at Palm Cove. It doesn't mean it's going to be the end of it, because there are still discussions going on about what could happen at Palm Cove to make it more, if you like, user-friendly. Of course, now it's got the status of the start of the Wongeti Trail. I don't know if you'd call it status. It's taking so long to come together. But that is the case. So there are added demands there for things like parking or whatever. But it's probably some years ago now, I was talking with a gentleman, a highly qualified architect, and the original master planner of Palm Cove. His name's Lee Ratcliffe, and I remember we had a discussion about what might happen in the future at Palm Cove. And of course, these days, it's seemingly more popular by the year, more people wanting to be there, more people wanting to holiday there. And right along the foreshore, of course, it's sometimes very, very busy traffic-wise. You've got the buses and you've got the trucks and you've got motorbikes and you've got everything else. And some people are saying, well, what about Tom Tate's idea for Palm Cove, a vehicle-free foreshore? And I remember Lee Ratcliffe saying, you know, it's got merit because you could simply find places, if you like, back from the foreshore where people could park their cars. I vaguely remember him saying you could have some sort of situation where they could be transported down on, I don't know if it was golf buggies or whatever it was, but he put it together in a way that it sounded possible. And some people these days, given what's been happening in recent years, might say desirable. Tom Tate, I would imagine, would be a fan of the concept, because that's seemingly exactly what he's doing at Surfers Paradise. I just put a call through to the architect and original master planner of Palm Cove, Lee Ratcliffe, and he's picked up the phone. Lee, good morning.
Good morning, John.
Long time no talk, but I do remember that conversation very well.
Yes, no, it's a very important conversation, and it's very interesting that other people are progressing exactly the same ideas.
It is. As soon as I heard Tom Tate's idea, I thought that was Lee Ratcliffe's idea several years ago, quite some years ago now. Talk to me about the concept. I mean, it is popular in other parts of the world. In fact, it's de rigueur. You go visiting overseas countries and invariably the foreshore is not given over to traffic. It's given over to pedestrian traffic.
Correct. And, John, I think the point is very, very simple. If you are starting again to master plan Palm Cove or any other beautiful village on a magnificent beach like Palm Cove is, the last thing you do is put your main traffic thoroughfare, a car road, along the beach, separating the facilities from the beach. That'd be nuts from a town planning point of view. That's the last thing you'd ever plan. Yet that's what we're starting with. So the point is, I think it's as far back as 1982, I wrote the master plan for Palm Cove through the 80s, 82 through to about 86, 87. And it basically was all based around turning it into a beautiful international village, which is what it's become, with height limits, design controls, and all the important planning fabric stuff you need to make a great village. Of course, in that plan, even then we had the old William Esplanade, which was just a dirt track then, along the beach. And the proposal was, way back then, to eventually turn it into a pedestrian esplanade and let the people take over. And one of the original things I proposed was a two-step process, a one-way, what I call a one-way figure eight, where people could come in one way and then they had to divert off the esplanade and then eventually take it towards pedestrianised. Both those options are still real and viable options today. It just goes around and around in a circle. You look at exactly what you said. Look at all the historic villages around the world. They're all getting it right. They're closing down the roads along the beachfronts or even close to the beachfronts and pedestrianising them. And you don't have to be afraid. You can still deal with delivery vehicles, drop-off vehicles, limos, people getting to their apartments, tour pickups, parking, traffic. That can all be managed. You've just got to take the emotion out of it. And the thing that still troubles me, John, and every time I go there, and I was up at Port Douglas only a few weeks ago during that really wet period, for our old friend Tony McGrath's memorial.
Oh, yes.
Your old friend for many, many years.
Yeah.
And I was back at Palm Cove and looking at it and thinking, it's still crazy. When the season comes on, here we have a beautiful esplanade, which I have to add, council are maintaining fantastically, better than most council maintenance programs you see anywhere. And we still got, I think it's a 40K speed limit, and yet you've got little, I've said this for years, you've got little toddlers running out from resorts.
Yeah.
We're encouraging it to be a family place.
Yeah.
And we've got little toddlers running across a road, or young people, or old people not even realising, I've got to turn around and have a look if there's any cars coming.
Mm.
And the problem with Palm Cove is it's cars first, and it's cars at 40Ks an hour, and it's buses at 40Ks an hour. This is a disaster waiting to happen. So it's not just a planning point of view, it's a safety point of view. In Cairns Esplanade, I think it's 10Ks, people first. It's very simple. Just put people first, cars second. Put in some well thought through processes, and it'll take care of itself.
Do you know this point you've just made about how dangerous it is comes up from time to time in discussion, particularly with mums out there? With well, they take it very, very seriously because you see the little kids, they'll wander out off the grass verge or whatever because a little bit of inattention. And the cars aren't just doing 40. Some of those cars, and of course these scooters these days, are doing 60 plus along there. So it's a very good point you've just brought up. Can I just ask you, though, about the traffic access, because they'd still have to come and go. You've got deliveries, etc. You did also mention a staged process. You would introduce a two-step process. Can you step us through that?
Yeah, I've thought a lot about this from starting way back then.
Mm.
You could actually, the Esplanade is basically in two halves. I think it's Harper Street is in the centre where the general store is, and you've got the northern end and the southern end. And what basically happens is you've got, into Palm Cove, you've got the southern access, which is down, originally was along Beavers Road.
Beavers Road,
Now it's through the new subdivision. And you've got all the traffic arriving at Palm Cove there on the first corner where Alamander is.
Yep.
So that's where most of the Cairns traffic turns in because it's the quickest and first way. The traffic coming from the north comes down Cedar Road and arrives around the jetty. So the simple answer is reverse it so that the traffic coming from the south cannot go straight onto the esplanade. You make the southern end of the esplanade one way heading south, and you make the northern end of the esplanade one way heading north.
Oh, I see.
That way you've discouraged people going straight and cruising along the esplanade, and you're turning them back through Olivia Street, which, if you look at Olivia Street, the council at the time, we discussed it, it's very wide, and it was meant to be the through road that was taking all the traffic.
Oh, really?
Wow. Yeah, it's been designed, and it's all sitting there waiting to happen. And then now, fortunately, with the project that's going in there, where they're building the new houses, they put a roundabout on the entry going into the old Novotel. Mm. So you've actually got a secondary main arterial street already built. Mm. So in simple terms, you deflect the traffic come from the south, you send them to the back street first, they'll find a car space, they can then come down Harper Street and continue on heading north one way, or they can double back. But essentially, you're forcing them to think about don't just cruise the Esplanade and don't just cut through the Esplanade. And then you do the exact reverse from the north. Mm. And with proper signage and slow everybody down, it's a no-brainer. But people just can't get their head around it. And then trial that for a while.
Yeah.
And eventually, you'll probably find that maybe that'll work. Or alternatively, you will go to a fully closed Esplanade, which I advocate. But I'm happy to see it done in two steps. Yeah. Just to slow everybody down. Put people first, because Palm Cove, there's been many tourism studies done over the last couple of years by the tourism groups and authority up there. And the patrons, the tourists that come to Palm Cove are either young families pushing kids in pushes or they're older retirees.
Yes.
That's the demographic that goes to Palm Cove. Both those demographics are at huge risk on that Esplanade every day. And then the other side of it is, what I always say is, the main users of Palm Cove are actually the Cairns citizens.
Mm.
Because everybody I know in Cairns, who most people, as we know, have come from somewhere else in the past, their friends and relatives visiting, where do they take them? Mm. They always take them to Palm Cove.
Mm.
And they sit on the beach. They, as you said, they play in the children's playground, which I might add, is built right on the Esplanade, right beside the risk points we're talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're proud of it. And they want to just socialise and be out there. And that's what Palm Cove should be. That's the main benefit of Palm Cove.
Would there be a lot of space freed up along that foreshore?
It's not so much space, but the other thing I've been advocating is like they have the markets there, like Port Douglas has its market every week. By freeing it up, you actually get the chance to use all that paved area for alternate activities.
Okay.
So you can have markets, you can have corporate events when you're trying to attract the corporate market to the Cairns Convention Centre. Mm. You could do spectacular things along there. You've just got to take a mindset of stop putting cars first and stop turning it into just a raceway, as you say.
Yeah.
And honestly, I'm not knocking them, but you look during the day and it's just tradies driving through, grabbing a burger down the road and, you know, drifting along to see what the beach looks like and what the ocean looks like. That's not a proper use of that area. It can be used for much better use. The restaurants could flow out there. The people can use it.
Dear, this is very timely, not just the announcement about Surfers Paradise pursuing this concept, virtually identical, but I took to yesterday with Chris Morris. Chris Morris is, as you know, he's a wonder when it comes to the islands along the Queensland coast. He actually makes them work. But he now has got an interest, well, he's expressed an interest on the program yesterday of taking over a double island just off Palm Cove. So, and he's a very creative man. I wish you and he would get together one day. Talk about these concepts.
Funny. I met Chris first time recently at the opening of his new restaurant down at Cape Shank in Victoria, beautiful organic farm to plate restaurant.
Yes.
And we didn't get the chance to talk about Palm Cove, but I do know he has an interest in Double Island. And someone like Chris Morris and his track record would be fantastic for Double Island.
Yeah.
As you mentioned, you've got the Wongeti Trail. The opportunity of the Wongeti Trail is world class. Could be one of the best walkways in the world. And where does it start and finish? Palm Cove.
Yeah.
And you're going to have people from all over the world coming to Palm Cove, turn it into a pedestrian-friendly, people-friendly environment. And it all ties together. You were talking about the jetty at Palm Cove. Mm. And yes, we've got to solve the problem. The boats have to be able to land there. It doesn't have to necessarily, in my opinion, be a groin wall.
Yeah.
I'm not opposed to it, but it doesn't have to be. It doesn't work ecologically. There are buffer systems, etc. But back in the day, we used to have Quicksilver pulling up there.
Yeah.
And they'd go from Cairns. They'd pull up at Palm Cove, as you know.
Yep.
They'd then go on to Port Douglas. Mm. But it was too hard for them to load and unload the people.
That's it.
So we've got to solve that problem and utilise the jetty properly. And I've always been an advocate that we've got to create a ferry service from Cairns to Palm Cove return.
Yes.
Imagine if you could walk down, if all the people staying in Cairns could walk down to the terminal, get on a ferry, just like going from Sydney to Manly, and have a beautiful ride out, get off, have lunch at Palm Cove, get back on and go and have dinner in Cairns. It's a no-brainer.
Lee Ratcliffe, you're a bloody inspiration. This has been such a pleasure this morning. We'll have to stay in touch. There's a lot at stake here. And this has been really, really helpful, I'm sure. People at least thinking about other possibilities and becoming creative, hopefully, because if we get these matters out in the general public and people start talking, you never know what might emerge. But I really appreciate this today, Lee.
As we say, we're working on a world stage. We've got to step back and stop being so myopic and look at the bigger picture.
Yeah. Good on you, Lee. Thank you.
Great to talk.
That's Lee Ratcliffe, the architect and original master planner of Palm Cove.